News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR. Do anything, anywhere with high-speed 4G mobile data coverage across 96% of the population.
This is News Talk.
Now, it's often reported that high-rise buildings could be a cheaper solution to address the housing crisis. We often hear calls as well to incentivise the construction industry because the cost of building is so high. But how true are these statements? Joining us now is architect and project manager Mel Reynolds. Mel, you've been writing about this in recent days. You're saying there are a number of myths about the Irish building sector that have been punctured in the last couple of weeks in a series of reports. Just tell us what those myths are and how they've been punctured.
Good morning. That's correct. There were three reports issued by the Department of Housing last week in the same day on Wednesday that put sort of paid to five big myths that are out there that seem to permeate discussion and debate.
Okay, myth number one.
Well, myth number one is that our costs in Ireland are out of line with those in Europe, which is not correct. Our costs are at the sort of higher end of the EU countries, but compared to a basket of six countries in Europe, we're there, thereabouts.
And when you say the cost of building, are you talking about like the raw materials that builders use?
No, this would be the hard build costs. So the very detailed 32-page report was completed by Mulcahy and McDonough, who are a very well-respected firm of QSs, and they did a pretty detailed analysis comparing ourselves to about seven to other EU countries. And the tender costs, which would be the hard cost of building, paying a contractor, are pretty similar. Now, there are other costs here in Ireland which are particular, which we'll add. Like, for example, we've very complicated and costly regulatory system getting planning permissions. Our building control costs are off the scale in comparison with the EU, but these aren't dealt with in the report. So for the purposes of the hard build cost, paying a contractor, we're no more expensive than an average EU country.
Okay, myth number two.
Myth number two is that high-rise, this is probably the biggest one, is high-rise will reduce prices. And simply that just doesn't happen.
Again, this was a report, a recent report, showing, is it that six floors is kind of the optimal level? Is that correct?
Well, this is last week. And the bizarre thing is when the press release was announced that accompanied the reports, it said that the department had known this for a few months and had been working on it. But at the same time, it's been telegraphing changes to removing the height cap in various different locations in Ireland. Put simply, a site that has 100 apartments, planning permission for 100 units is twice as valuable as a site that has planning permission for 50. Now, that doesn't translate into cheaper units. It translates into higher site values. So the site, the increase, the value add from removing height caps just doesn't get passed on to purchasers. It's never happened. It hasn't happened in 30 years in my experience.
I presume there must be certain occasions, though, where it does actually make economic sense to build more than six.
Oh, well, if you can sell apartments for 700,000-800,000 euros in the centre of Dublin, that makes sense to go up as high as you can. If you can't make a profit, or if your development isn't viable at four storeys, the higher you build, the more money you lose. So we found that when we were looking at schemes back in 2014, if you're looking at, that's when heights came down in some schemes, when developers went for lower densities, which seems sort of counterintuitive, but that's the way it works.
Okay. Myth number three?
The other third one, which is one that the construction industry, in particular the CIF, have been at for a number of years, which is reducing VAT from 13.5% to 9% and reducing planning levies, say, by half or 75% will reduce prices.
Okay, this is a fascinating one because you think not only will this not actually work, you think it'll actually increase the price of land, basically. It'll drive up the cost of land. Is that right?
Yeah, well, it's funny. This is one that most people don't get. But basically, the way that land is valued is it's called a residual land value. So you have a sales price, which is fixed. The market fixes it. And then you take off all your costs. So when you remove costs, minor costs, like, for example, VAT, if you reduce it, or planning levies, the site value goes up by around 25%. So the sales price stays the same. I mean, nobody is going to sell a car for 20% less just because they get a saving in their production line. It doesn't work like that. So the sales price is the sales price, and the savings, including minor savings to do with standards, just don't get passed on. So I've an exercise at the moment where I have a client who's selling land. We did an exercise to see what will happen to the price, to his profit, if the VAT gets reduced. And very simply, his site value will go up by 25%.
Okay, so not only does it not improve the situation, it conceivably makes it worse, basically.
Well, it will inflate site values, and we have a problem at the moment in the market with inflated site values. The market is red hot. There's a lot of land speculation here, and it's a big problem at the moment.
Okay, let's get to number four, myths number four and five then. Myth
number four. Four and five, lowering standards will reduce prices. doesn't happen. Recent reports as well confirm that by making a parking smaller, increasing the number of parkings per core, and in particular reducing car parking standards, would in some way reduce costs. They do. They reduce them between 8,000 and 37,000 euros. And the biggest cost saving is to be found in the most expensive apartment, which is, a 530,000 euro apartment in the centre of Dublin. The developer's profit would increase by about 37% if basement car parking was omitted. The difficulty there, again, is that the sales price won't change. Mm-hmm. So viability is dependent on the sales price being maintained. If the costs were passed on, the developer's bottom line wouldn't improve. Probably the last and the biggest one is the level of completions we have at the moment. I mean, we're building nothing like the 18,000 per year figure that the department are quoting. When you look at more accurate indicators like stamp duty transactions, BER registrations, etc., we're at less, around about 9,000 euros, which is, or, sorry, 9,000 units, which is around half of the official figures. So it's a real problem for everyone involved, including manufacturers who are programming in figures into their supply chains. We're at half the level of official completions that we're being told.
Okay, now, one thing that doesn't appear to be a myth, though, is that land hoarding is a serious problem, and it is actually driving up the cost of land, and as a result, the cost of housing.
Yes, that's correct. Well, this shouldn't be a surprise to any commentators, because government policy has probably unwittingly facilitated
unwittingly,
this.
I think it's fair to say, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, in fairness to NAM, at the time they were faced with, they had, you know, managing portfolios, vast quantities of land. They had developers on their books who were well bankrupt back in 2010.
Under huge political pressure results.
And also they had to do this very fast. So they what they did was they packaged up land in very large parcels and sold it off. And in parallel with that, various capital gains tax incentives were brought in by the Department of Finance, primarily in 2012. That was to induce foreign capital to come in. So it worked there. But the problem with that is it created a problem further down. So by 2015, we had foreign speculators, not developers, holding onto very large tracts of land that were going to hold for another, until 2018, 2019, to avail of capital gains tax incentives. And there was an incentive not to build. The anecdotal, the sort of unofficial phrase for this is the help to hoard scheme. So it was a sort of cocktail of government policies and measures that incentivized vacancy in land. And that's what faces us at the moment, is essentially we have this.
Is there
situation.
Anything we can do about that? Are there some kind of levies being brought in or have been brought in? Is that enough, or do you need sort of a use it or lose it kind of policy?
Well, it's actually very hard to, this has been, most of what we're going through has happened in the UK. The pattern seems to be here is that we wait until a policy has been in operation in the UK for some years and has failed before we introduce it in Ireland. So this is the same problems have occurred there. They have a number of very large hoarders. They have a number of very large builder developers who are controlling supply to the market, and prices are increasing. So there are ways, probably the most effective way here is land management, and it's for the state to manage its own land banks. Now the three reports indicate that the desire for the state to start managing its own land portfolios. But the state owns vast quantities of land. I mean, Dublin City Council on its own over 25% of all vacant residential zoned land in the city centre, with a capacity for close to 19,000 units. Okay. So they could really have a meaningful intervention here.